hold them on Zion Emmett Days at Mishnah, middle of the Amud. And for about the next week or so, we're going to be dealing with the halachas of Avadim, which in a way, they have a certain connection to Masechta Gittin because of Get Shichur, but primarily they're in here because we're going to end up talking about a number of dinim with them that are also Mechikun Olam, similar to the previous Mishnayos with the Chachamim Meir Tachana in order to make things flow more smoothly. Mishnah starts off, Eved Shenishba, if you have an Eved Knani, that is, who was captured by Goyim, Upda'uhu, and then other Jews, not his original owner, but other Jews, ransomed him, they did Pidyon Shvuyim, Im L'shum Eved, so if they redeemed him, having in mind that he's a slave and planning that he should continue being one, Yishtabed, then he can continue being a slave, he can continue being worked with. Who is it that gets to work with him? This is first, that we're going to learn about in the Gemara. If they redeemed him, having in mind that he's a free person, then he should not be made to work. Then he goes free, basically. Although we'll see the details in Gemara. Either way, he continues to be an Eved. So, Gemara starts off with my asking him, what is the situation we're talking about? You have to consider. We say this Eved, originally, before he was captured, he belonged to somebody, he belonged to Israel. Now, he's still that Yisrael's property, unless the original owner had Yish, gave up hope of ever getting him back. And in that case, then we can talk about what effect that has. But my skin, what are we talking about? Elam Lifnei Yish, if we're talking about that it's before the original owner had Yish, he was captured by Goyim. He was captured by Goyim, by pirates, by an enemy army, whatever, So if it's before Yish, L'shum ben Chorin, am I lo yishtabed? So why, just because he was bought, L'shem ben Chorin, why shouldn't he be returned L'chura to his original owner and continue to work? He wasn't the Yish, he's still owned by him. Just because other people redeemed him thinking that he's a ben Chorin, why does that change his status? By being Meshachar and Eved. Yeah, we'll talk about that later in the Gemara, El Acha Yish, so okay, you're going to say it's after the original owner had Yish. Well then, L'shem Eved, L'shum Eved, Amai Yishtabed. So why, if you redeemed him, having in mind that he's an Eved, why should he be Nishtabed? Which Rashi says, the Gemara is assuming at this point that we mean, when we said Yishtabed, presumably means by his original owner. But if his original owner gave up hope of ever getting him back, that's kind of the equivalent. Rashi and Tosfos discuss later whether Yish is the equivalent of Hester. That's a discussion that comes up later in the Gemara. But either way, if the original owner has given up hope of getting him back, then he doesn't own him anymore. So why would we return him to him? Well, that's one of the answers that we're going to say. But the Gemara's initial assumption was that he would be go back to the original master. Yeah. Abai says, you are actually talking about it's before Yish, so the original owner never gave up hope of getting him back. So it's like this, if he was bought as an Eved, Yishtabed L'Aved Rishon. Then what the Mishnah is saying is that when he said Yishtabed, yes, it means that he should be handed back to his original master and continue to working for him. L'Shum Ben Chorin, Lo Yishtabed, Lo L'Aved Rishon, Lo L'Aved Sheni. If he was bought out of Ben Chorin, they planned for him to be free, then he doesn't become an Eved neither to the original master nor to the new one. Yeah, they'll have to reimburse them the money, naturally.
How can the people who freed him make a decision on whether or not this doesn't belong to them in the first place, decide whether or not he's freed as a Ben Chorin or as an Eved?
Because they're the ones who are buying him back from the Goyim, and since he's already an Eved, then yes, they have the ability to determine that.
He belongs to someone else.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. It also means where if they didn't know what the circumstances are, they didn't know whether he's an Eved. L'shem Eved would mean they knew he's an Eved, and they're buying him knowing that he's an Eved. Whereas L'shem Ben Chorin would mean they thought he was a Ben Chorin. That's also possible.
I think Metaltel then, who is redeemed in someone else's possession and belongs to a third party
Metaltelin is no such thing as Eved or Ben Chorin. Here we're talking about, so he's either an Eved or not. So if he was bought L'shem Ben Chorin, Lo Yishtabed, Lo L'Rav Edition, Lo L'Rav Sheni, then he doesn't become an Eved to either one of them. L'Rav Sheni, Lo Yidoholim Shum Ben Chorin. He doesn't work for the second person, the one who bought him now, because he bought him as a Ben Chorin. L'Rav Edition, Nami Lo, and he shouldn't go back to being an eved to his first master either, Dilma Mimni Evilai Pauki, because then what we figure is people are going to say, why should I bother buying him back from the goyim anyway, if he's just going to go back to as an eved to his original master? So like this, what we're saying is, even though it's Lifnei Yirsh, so if they bought him as a Ben Chorin, then we should want him to go free, because otherwise people aren't going to have an incentive to b'chol want to buy him, and we want them to buy him back, because otherwise, as an Eved Shnani, we're going to talk about Pidyon Shvuyim in a minute, but with an Eved, at least there's a matter of, even if you don't say that Pidyon Shvuyim as such applies to Avadim, there is the idea, though, you don't want that Yitama Ben Agoyim. Suff, an Eved Shnani is obligated in some mitzvahs. If he ends up being bought and kept as a slave by the Goyim, he's going to end up forgetting about Yiddishkeit altogether. We don't want that. So therefore, we want to give people an incentive that they should redeem him. When they know he's going to become a Ben Chorin, when they're doing it for as a Ben Chorin, and they know he's going to become one, he's not just going to return to his original master as an Eved, then they'll have an incentive to do that. So there'll be another year. Okay, Tosfos points out that even if he was born as an Eved, you would argue then, fine, so then why did he go back to the original master? Why didn't he go to the second one? And Tosfos says, because that would be, they'd basically be stealing him away from his original master. He originally belonged to somebody. So when they're buying him L'shem Ben Chorin, fine, you can argue that because we want to give them an incentive to, therefore we'll override the original master's ownership of him. No, but if he's being bought as an Eved anyhow, let him anyway return to the original master. I didn't... They're in there. I didn't get them because I was in a hurry, but is it really that important?
If
we're saying that he goes back to the original master, then yeah, he's going to have to reimburse them for the money they laid out for him for Pidyon Shvuyim.
Yeah,
I guess probably after, yeah. Maybe it could be either way, I don't know. Okay. On the other hand, continues Abayir, Reb Shimon Gamliel and Ben Kach Ben Kach Ishtabed, that Reb Shimon Gamliel says either way you make him an Eved. Why? Because Tavak Shem Shem Mitzvah Lifteses B'nei Chorin Kach Mitzvah Lifteses Avadim. Just as much as Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, just as much as there's a mitzvah to redeem a regular Yid from captivity, so there is an equal mitzvah to redeem an Eved Kani. So there's none of this people might avoid doing it. It's going to be the same mitzvah. There's not going to be any avoiding of it. Therefore he might as well stay in heaven. That's a bias explanation. Rav says no. Actually, what we're talking about is all this took place after the original owner was Miyash. So therefore, Lashum Eved, when we say that if he was bored of an Eved, Yishtabed, that means Ladab Isheni. That means the second master, the one who bought him now back from the Goyim, is the one who is entitled to keep him as an Eved. And he doesn't have to compensate the original owner because he was Miyayish on him anyway. L'shum Ben Chorin, the Tanakhama says, Lo Yishtabed Lo L'Rabbi Rishon Lo L'Rabbi Sheni. If he was bored as a Ben Chorin, he doesn't work, he doesn't become a slave either to the first or the second master. Why L'Rabbi Sheni Lo Yidah L'shum Ben Chorin? He doesn't work for the second one because after all he bought him as a Ben Chorin. He didn't buy him for the purpose of an Eben. He doesn't go back to the original master because it was after Yish. The original master gave up hope of ever getting him back. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel and Ben Kach Ben Kach Ishtabed. So why then, Rava says, why would Rav Shimon Gamliel be saying that either way he becomes an Eved? That would be Kidachizkiah. That would be in accordance with what Chizkiah says. Why indeed did the Chachamim say that either way, why did the Chachamim say that, whether an Eved is redeemed as an Eved or as a Ben Chorin, that Yishtabed, that he goes back to being an Eved? Because you do not want that any Eved is just going to go and allow himself to be captured by marauding armies. And then that way he'll get out of working for his master. So in order to avoid that, Chizkiah says we're going to have him continue being Eved unless they bought him. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. Even if they bought him L'shem Ben Chorin, we don't want to give him an incentive to do something like that. So that's what we're saying. Yishtabed L'Rabbi Rishon. Yeah. Rashi, that's Rashi versus Tosfos. Rashi says that according to Rava's understanding of Rav Shimon Gamliel, it comes out based on Chizkiah's principle, it would mean he goes back to his original master. Transfers themselves says maybe not necessarily. What if you have, for example, that, you could have a situation, for example, where he hates his original master and therefore he does all of this. So Tosfos says no. So that's exactly it. He does return to the original one because otherwise this Makalasma Legayosis business that he may allow himself to be captured in order to be redeemed, etc. Granted, okay, if one's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the fact that he's redeemed as a Ben Churin is not going to help him. He's still going to stay in Eved, but he may still try to do it in order to get out of an original master that he doesn't like. Therefore, better let's not allow him to do that and return him to the original one. If he's not even a master, that's no good. Then let him go to Beis Din and get that taken care of, but not finagle things like this by getting himself captured, etc. So now the Gemara says we have a contradiction from a Braisa, a contradiction to Rava. The Braisa says, Amar lahen Reb Shimon Gamliel, that Reb Shimon Gamliel says to the Chachamim, Kishem shemitzvah liftisus b'nei chorin, kak mitzvah liftisus avodim. Just as much as there's a mitzvah to redeem free people from captivity, so there's a mitzvah to redeem avodim. So, Bishlem el Abaya, Dra Amar lifnei yir, so according to Abaya, who says that the whole situation in our Mishnah, the whole machlokas, the Chachamim, Reb Shimon Gamliel, is talking about before the owner was miyayish from him, Hainu Dekama Kishem. Then we understand why Reb Shimon Gamliel was mentioning that point, that it's important to realize that Avodim have to be freed just as much as free people, and therefore that's why Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that. And that's why Reb Shimon Gamliel would say, whether you bought him as you're not going to say like the Chachamim would say that if you don't allow him to go free, people are going to have no incentive to redeem him. Reb Shimon Gamliel says they don't need an incentive. It's the same mitzvah. They just have the mitzvah itself is enough of an incentive. According to Rava, who says that the situation is that it was after Yush, and he's saying Reb Shimon Gamliel's reasoning is not because of any kishem, not because of any mitzvah to redeem slaves from captivity, but rather because of Chizkiah's principle, that you don't want to give the slave an incentive to go get himself captured, etc. So then, hi kishem, what do you mean he's saying kishem? What do you mean he's mentioning this point about that it's a mitzvah to pity and shuriyim for slaves? According to Rava, Reb Shimon Gamliel's underlying reason, Reb Shimon Gamliel's underlying reason is because of what Chizkiah said, not because Kishem Shemitzvah lived as B'nei Chorin, etc. The answer is, Amalach Rava, Reb Shimon Gamliel, lo have a yodem ay kamer abonim. Yes, but actually what happened over here is Reb Shimon Gamliel didn't quite understand what the Chachamim are getting at. When they're saying that there's a difference between whether it was bought, L'shem Eved or L'shem Ben Chorin, he didn't know what their rationale for that is. So he's saying to them like this, what's the situation that you're talking about when you're saying that there's a difference between whether he was bought as an Eved or as Ben Churin? If you're talking about before Yirsh, well then Hainu Kishen. Then I will tell you what we said according to Abaya's reasoning. If it's before Yirsh, then yes, he should stay an Eved. You're going to argue people aren't going to have an incentive to redeem him. They will because of the mitzvah. And if you're talking that's after Yush, then Kidchizkiah, then I'm not mentioning Kishem, then I'm mentioning the Chizkiah's principle that we don't want to allow him to get himself out of the first master that easily by Makalasma Legayosis. So therefore, in other words, so the reason why he's mentioning Kishem, Rava says that's not his only reasoning. That's one angle that he says. If you're talking Lifnei Yush, then that would be the angle that I'm using. If you're talking Acha Yush, then I'm using a different angle. Yeah. The question is, so if you're saying that, if Rava is saying that the Tanakhama is saying because the first master had Yirsh, therefore when he's redeemed as an Eved, he goes to the second master, you have to ask, so who did the second master get him from anyway? Mishapai. He bought him from the captor, from the one who had illegally captured him. Well, the problem is, Shabai go from Mikonilei. This person, Bechlau, did he have this guy who kidnapped him, did he have the ability to actually acquire him to the extent where now when he sells him to Yisrael, that he should be considered the second Yisrael's property? Okay, I didn't realize that. I didn't quite catch that. No, your question was, how does the second Yisrael have the right to buy him as an Eved versus a Ben Churin? The Gemara here is talking about a different angle on it. If he's buying it from a guy, you can't buy from somebody more koyach than he himself possesses. How does this Shabbai himself have any ability how is he legally considered to have acquired this Eved to the extent where now, okay, if that was your question, then fine. Okay, then, yeah. Yeah. The first should talk about why the Gemara is asking that only on Rava. The Ritva says one reason is because Rava is the one who explicitly said that he goes to the second master. Anyway, the answer is Ain. Yes, Koning Leila Maisa Yodav. That Shabai, that Goy, the kidnapper, has acquired him insofar as Maisa Yodav. He hasn't been Koning his goof. He doesn't own his goof, as the Gemara is going to say in a second of Limbo, that one Goy is not able to own another Goy's goof. We talked about this in Yavamas as well. But he is able to own Maisa Yodav. How do we know that one guy is able to buy another guy to the extent that he owns Maisa Yodav? The Pasuk says, the Gam b'nei ha-teshavim agorim imochem, also from the Pasuk talking about the dinim of Avodah Zarah, and Pasuk Bar, also from the children of those of the goyim resident in Eretz Yisrael, agorim imochem, who are living among you, mehem tiknu, from them you can buy. So the word mehem is extra. We already said mehem tiknu eved v'ama. So what's mehem tiknu? It means atem koinim mehem. It should have just said tiknu, yeah. Atem koinim mehem means you Jews are able to buy slaves from the goyim. V'loy heim koinim mikem. But a goy is not able to acquire one of you. A goy is not able to acquire a yid. V'loy heim koinim zemizeh. And one goy is not able to acquire a goy from another one. Yachol lo yiknu zezeh. So the Braisa continues, you would think that goyim are not able to acquire each other. What do you mean? You just said they can't buy from each other. So what's the question? What it means is they're not able to be koine each other that he actually owns his body. So you would think maybe even a goy doesn't have the ability to buy another goy insofar as Maisa Yadav. So now continuing with the Braisa. Amar to Kav HaChomer. No, you can prove that he can based on a Kav HaChomer. A goy is able to acquire a Jew as far as Maisa Yodav, because the Pasuk actually there in Parshas Bahar talks about a situation where a Jew is sold as an eved to a goy.
That
just means Maisa Yodav, yeah. As a matter of fact, the Torah says over there, it's below you've done it, but there's not allowed to be a situation where you see the goy working the Jew with Avodas Perach. And you don't stop it. You don't have to barge into his house to check it out, but if you know that it's going on, you're not allowed to let him do it. It is a mitzvah to redeem him, indeed. But so he doesn't assimilate among the goyim. No, that's the point. Gufay is not Kanu. If Gufay was Kanu, there wouldn't be any mitzvah of lo yudan of a fair by nacha. So what? Gufay Kanu, you can do whatever he wants with him.
And he lived with another goy, so
That's what we're saying. But we're making a kava. We wouldn't know if it weren't for the pot. If it weren't for this kava chomer, we wouldn't know that a goy is even able to own another goy as far as Maisa Yodav. But we're saying a kava chomer. If a goy is able to own a Jew as far as Maisa Yodav, which is the situation that it talks about over there, where a goy buys an eved ivri and keeps him until yovel. How much more so that one guy is able to buy another guy insofar as Maisa Yodav? Then the question becomes, fine, maybe that only applies that one guy is able to be paid another one if he pays money. How do we know it also applies with Chazaka? Now, in this case, this Shabbai, this kidnapper, didn't pay money for the Eved. So what's Chazaka? So Rashi says the Chazaka we're talking about over here is that there's the fact of that according to Rava that the original owner gave up hope of getting him back. Second of all, what it is Chazaka when it comes to an Eved implies, Rashi brings from a Gemara in Kedushin, which we'll learn in a few months, says Hashem, that Chazaka by an Eved means having him do the kind of work for you that an Eved ordinarily would do. That you normally have a free person do, only an Eved. For example, taking off his shoes, giving him a bath, getting him dressed, etc.
What about the fact that Eved says he was stole? Does that mean anything?
Doesn't mean anything, no. That's what we're discussing over here. We're trying to figure out, this Shabbai, this kidnapper, apparently has been able to acquire this Eved, at least to a limited extent, at least to the extent of Maisa Yodav. Therefore, when he sells him to another Jew, according to Rava, how does that Jew have rights on him? Because that's what we're saying. So we're trying to figure that out. How do we know that the Shabbai is able to acquire this Eved based just on having kidnapped him and there having been Yush and him doing Chazaka? Tosfos argues that Chazaka over here means differently. Tosfos says that Chazaka over here means the Chazaka the fact that there was a capture over here, the fact that there was a war or whatever, we're not necessarily, according to Tosafos, we're not necessarily talking about an individual person just found kidnapping. We're talking about, for example, there was a war, and enemy soldiers came in and invaded and conquered territory and people. That kind of chazaka is what we're talking about. That kind of chazaka, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, is a very strong chazaka. But how do we know that? The answer is, Amun and Papa, Amun and Moav, Tahar B'Sichon. The famous thing that we say that parts of the land of Amun and Moav became Tahar and became Mutter for the Jews to conquer after they were conquered by Sichon. The Ebishter had told the Jewish people in Parshas Devarim, don't harass Moav, don't harass Amun, don't try to take any of their land. But earlier, Sichon had conquered parts of the land of Amun and Moav, and now when the Jews came and asked Sichon for permission to cross through his land, and he refused and took out his army against him, and they were able to defeat him and take over that land. There's no reason to assume it would only apply. There's no reason to assume that it would only apply to Sichon. We know. No. Why?
Because he refused to let.
It doesn't matter whether he refused or not. The fact is, he's one of the seven nations of Canaan. They had to fine. But the point still remains. Why are they allowed to take this land? Because it didn't belong to Ammon and Moab anymore. Because he had conquered it from them. So we see that conquest is a very powerful thing. Some of them talk about, especially in connection with conquest, they talk about whether it's a matter of dinah d'machlokes dinah, or maybe is it a matter of nishtak hashem baila, but like it's forgotten already, it's like the history books don't even record anymore that this land ever belonged to Ammon and Moab. It's like, you know, there are facts on the ground now, it belongs to Sichon. Tosfos says, if we see that Sichon is able to conquer land and it's considered his based on Chazaka, then the same thing would apply to people as well. The Pashtus, when he captured these lands, he also captured people along with them also, and they became his subject.
Right.
So therefore, we see that Chazaka works as well. So yes, if this Shabbai goes and captures this Eved, then yes, he has a certain Chazaka on him. Ashkechon, Ovid Kechavim, Ovid Kechavim. Fine. So we see then from all of this that one guy is able to acquire another guy, at least the mighty other. Ovid Kechavim Yisrael, Manolon. Fine. But how do we know the same thing applies if a guy captures a yid? Now, what do we mean by a yid over here? Rashi says we don't mean an actual yid. We mean this Eved. An Eved is a quasi-Jew because he's chayiv in some mitzvahs. And every time, yeah, he's chayiv in some mitzvahs. So how do we know that if a guy captures him, that he's able to acquire him? Tosfos says we're talking about an actual Yisrael. We're talking about literally, if we said before that a guy is able to buy a Jewish slave, how do we know that also if he captures him in war or whatever, that also he's considered his slave lahalacha?
Even the
group? Not the group, the ma'ziyado, but how do we know that? Dechtiv vayish mimenu shevi. Earlier in that same parak, in Parashas Chukas, before the wars of Sichon and Og, it describes how Haknani Melech Harod, which actually says was actually Amalek in disguise, went and attacked the Jewish people, and Vayish Mimenu Shevi, they captured from them captives. Rashi says there was actually one captive, but whatever. The point is, the extra word Shevi teaches us that, the word Shevi teaches us that it is considered a valid capture, l'alacha. This person, actually, the Ramban points out, based on Rashi on the pasuk over there, that it was actually the one they captured was actually a maid servant herself, or Shifra Knamis. What we see from that, according to Rashi, who says over here that the Gemara's discussion over here is about an Eved or a Shifra, we see from that when a goy captures a Shifra Knamis or an Eved Knani, then yes, it becomes Shevi, it becomes legally theirs.
Just in combat only.
Well, so according to Tosfos, primarily we're talking about in combat. According to Rashi, that we're talking about Chazaka, it may even be talking about freebooters or whatever, I don't know. This isn't talking about war, yes. Omer of Shomon Ba'aba Omer of Yechanan. Eved Shebarach Medeis HaAsurim Yatzal L'Cheres. If an Eved escapes from jail, so now let's go a further scenario over here. This Eved was captured by Goyim. They put him in jail, and then he ran away. He managed to get himself out. Yotzei L'Cheres, by doing that, he goes free. He's no longer considered an Eved to his original master. V'loy oid, and not only that, El Shekoifin, it's Rabbi, because of Leget Shichur. Not only that, we force his master to write him out of Get Shichur. Interesting thing that the Rashba, I think it is, talks about is when the goy captured the Eved, because the Eved is right now in a state of captivity, he doesn't have the ability. We don't say that even if the original owner was Miyayish from him, we don't say that the Eved has the ability now to acquire himself, that he becomes a Ben Chorin, because he's in captivity. But when he managed to get out of captivity, to escape from jail over there, that Maaseh itself is enough that he's now able to be Kohen himself. He now has the ability to be Kohen himself. That's how he learns, that's how he explains the Gemara over here. Now, well, that's the thing. Now he becomes the Yisrael HaKhodover. And what we're saying, well, so actually what we're saying, no, he still needs, that's the thing. He needs to get Shifra. Rashi says, La'atshire b'vas Yisrael, in order for him to be allowed to marry, he practically speaking, de facto, he's free. But there still is the fact, there's actually, Mephoshim talk about, there's two different aspects in an Eved Kanani. There's the ownership, there's the monetary ownership that his master has of him, which fine, that can be transferred to the Shabbai, that can be transferred to another person, etc. And then there's the Isser aspect of it, the fact that an Eved is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. So now, when he was captured and then escaped from captivity, that itself is enough to make him a free person. It's enough to take away the monetary ownership that his master had on him. It's not enough to take away the issue. Therefore, he needs to get Shifra.
Nobody will marry him at that point, probably.
Why nobody will marry him?
But
without a get Shifra, he won't be allowed to. He won't be allowed to marry a Shifra, and he won't be allowed to marry a Bachorim. Unless it's Tanan, let's see how that fits with our Mishnah. Reb Shimon Gamliel and Ben Kach Ben Kach Yishtabed. We learned in the Mishnah that Reb Shimon Gamliel says either way, whether they redeemed him from the Goyim as an Eved or as a Ben Chorid, and either way he goes back to being an Eved. And Rav Rava Babachana Amar Bechnan, Kol Mokam Shoshana Reb Shimon Gamliel Mishnah Senu. Rava Babachana says a general rule in the name of Reb Yechanan, in every place where we have an opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, as opposed to Braises. Right, says there are lots of exceptions. But in the Mishnah, halacha kama, you say the halacha is always like him. Chutz mi'orev v'tzaydan uraya achrona, except for three cases in Shas. Orev is a case at the end of Bava Basra. Tzaydan is a case later on in Omasefta, and involving a case with a guest with a tnai. And raya achrona is a case in Sanhedrin, about a din Torah, where a person has been told to bring proofs. He says, I don't have any, and afterwards he finds proofs. So in those three cases, Reb Shimon Gamliel argues, and Halacha is not like him, but everywhere else it is. So far, in other words, it should come out, according to Reb Yechanan, the Halacha should be like Reb Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah. That's not one of the three exceptions. So, Bishleim la'abaya mukilo l'hai l'fnei yirsh v'hai l'acha yirsh. So according to Abaya, it's not a problem. The two statements of Reb Yechanan are not in conflict. One's talking about Reb Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah, it's talking about before yirsh, because that's how Abaya learned the Mishnah. So the owner was not yet miyash of him, therefore he goes back to him. Rabbi Yochanan's case of the Eved who ran away from captivity, he's talking about la'acha yirsh. So la'acha yirsh already, then Shimon Gamliel wouldn't say he goes back to being an Eved. He does go free, and therefore we can say that at that point he's de facto free and we just need a get shikru to make it official.
So if he leaves the jail before yirsh.
That's what we're asking. So before, that's what we're saying. According, we would say, since we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha is always like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, except for those three cases, we would say that if it was before Yirsh, he has to go back to his original master. The master hasn't given up, he hasn't had Yirsh yet, he's still his property. Ella l'Rava d'Amal Acha Yirsh, but Rava says that in the Mishnah itself it's talking about Acha Yirsh. So Kash is Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan, so you have a contradiction between the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Is the halacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Then it doesn't matter whether he got himself out of jail or not. Either way, he's shavid. And here you're saying that if he got himself out of jail, then he goes free. The answer is Amal Acha Rava, time am I? So Rava would tell you, think of it this way. What's the reason why we were saying, Rava at the beginning of the Sugya was saying before, why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that either way he goes back to being an Eved and to the first master? Why is that? We said Mishum deChizkiyah, because of Chizkiyah is a thing that he said that we don't want the Eved to get himself captured by bandits and then get himself out of being a slave. Well, Bereach Shiny, it's different if he ran away. Because Hashtalak Tola Masanafte, because if he's even willing to go to get away from these guys, he's running away knowing that he's taking his life into his hands. If they capture him, they'll kill him. Apuli Apul Napshila Gayosis, would he go and get himself up into the Gayosis in the first place?
Would he go end up getting himself captured?
No. So the Rashba has a couple of different ways of explaining what the Gemara means over here. One is that we might assume the guy would be Mako after the Gayosis, figuring that people are gonna redeem him. And therefore Shimon Gamliel says, don't allow him to do that. When they redeem him, he goes back to being an Eved. But he's not going to go and be Mako after the Gayosis in a situation where he knows that they're not going to come and free him, and he's going to have to escape and take his life in his hands. He's not going to do that in the first place.
The important word he said is that he knows, but what happens if he thinks he's going to be relieved?
No, but nobody goes and is makalatim legayotis knowing that they're going to be in a situation where they have to take their life in their hands.
But not knowing.
Not knowing, okay, but he would be able to figure out in advance. Is there likely to be a situation where people are going to do pidyon shvuyim over here? Are these gayosis, this invading army, are they coming from New Zealand or something where there are next to no Jews, or are they coming from are they coming from some place where there's a lot of Jews who will do pidyon shvuyim or whatever? That's one way he explains it. So therefore, there's no reason to apply Chizkiah's rule in that case. Also, he gives another reason that basically boils down to that since we see that he's running away, then we have no reason to make a zera on this particular person. We see this particular person obviously wasn't makil atzmo legayosis. He obviously didn't get into it voluntarily, because if he never would have run away. So therefore, no contradiction. You can still say that both cases are talking l'achal yish, but we're talking about one case is where he's expecting to be redeemed, and he's happy to get redeemed. Then we apply Chizkiah's rule. The other way is where he ends up running away, and then we apply what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that Yotzei L'Chayes. The Gemara tells the case. Am Seh D'mar Shmuel D'Shtabai.
No contradiction.
No contradiction, right. Am Seh D'mar Shmuel D'Shtabai, a maidservant, a Meshuch HaKnanis, belonging to Shmuel, was captured by Goyim. Jews in some other place where these soldiers or whatever went to with her, redeemed her as an Oma, as a maidservant, in the name of that she'll continue to be a maidservant. And they sent her back to Shmuel. And Shokhule, and they sent a message. Why are we doing this? Anan Kirub Shimon Gamliel, Svid Alon. We hold like Kirub Shimon Gamliel that regardless, even if we had bought her L'Shem Ben Chodin, that she would go back to you. Ah! As far as you, Inami, Kirabonan Svirloch, even if you hold like the Rabbanan, that it would depend on what we were thinking, you should know. Anan l'shumam hasav, alkinam l'niyala. We bought her as an Oma. So either way, we're obligated to return her to you, whether you look at it according to the Shimon HaNeil, or you look at it according to the Rabbanan.
And
you have to pay her for money. The pastors, they're saying that they have to reimburse him. The Inu Savral Achu Yishava. Now, what happens is, they thought that Shmuel had not been miyayish yet. So therefore they figured that in that case she still has property. However, v'loihi, actually that wasn't the case. L'acha yirshava. As a matter of fact, Shmuel had already had yirsh. U'Shmuel. So what happened? So Tosfos points out that actually if they held it was l'acha yirsh, still they might have held like Rava, that he still goes back to him anyway. And Tosfos explains that actually Rav Shimon Gamliel, that Tosfos had mentioned before about the question whether he goes to the first master or the second master. I misstated it before. Tosfos does say that it means to the second master. So even if they held like Rava, and even if they knew it was l'acha yirsh and they held like Rava, that still would have made it that it has to be returned to the original master, because if it was l'acha yirsh, if they thought it was l'acha yirsh and they held like Rava, they would have said we keep her as a shifcha.
If they thought
that it was after yirsh, but they held like Rava, so we have to say that's why the Gemara is saying it has to be that they figured it was before yirsh.
They have to ask if he made yirsh, or just
no? They assume. They assume, yeah.
On the basis of what?
It wasn't very long. Maybe. Yeah. So what happened? Ushmuel What happened is when she came back, not only did Shmuel not continue having her work for him as a shicha, he didn't even require her to get shichur in order to be considered a full-fledged Jewish woman and be able to marry Yisrael and so forth. Why? Shmuel atame, because Shmuel went according to his own svara. If somebody declares his eved hefker, then he goes free. Then he doesn't get shichur, and he doesn't require a get shichur. So in this case, Shmuel figured, I was miyayish. That's Shmuel's opinion. But therefore, he figured, I was miyayish. If I was miyayish, so Rashi, this is where Rashi says that Yush is basically another form of Hefker. Tosfos disagrees with that, says they're not exactly the same thing, but still close enough. The fact that he was Miyash effectively makes her there's no owner of her. No owner, then Yotzei L'Chayes. The Ein Tzarech Get Shichur, and such a person doesn't even require a Get Shichur to go free. Shenema, the pasuk says...
It's not
halacha, but this is how Shmuel holds. As the pasuk says, any slave of a man who is bought with money. So what does that mean? Eved ish v'loy eved isha? Does it mean only a slave of a man, not of a woman? There's no reason to make that distinction. Ella eved sheyesh lo reshus l'rabbi olav kori eved. No, what it means is we darshan from it that a slave whose master still has jurisdiction over him, still has the ability, still has control of him. Kori eved is called an eved. She'en lo reshus l'rabbi olav. If it's already a situation where the master has no more control over him, namely in this case, he was master him. Then he's not called a slave. So therefore, Shmuel, that he's not called a slave at that point, he doesn't even need to get shikur.
To escape for the slave.
But if he escapes, it requires yush first. It requires the master is going to have yush first.
I mean, if you get shikur, you just probably tell the person your friend.
Tosfos discusses that point, and they talk about you may need it in order for him to marry a bas chorin. There still might be a difference whether he's declaring the slave hefker or whether he's declaring him free. If he's declaring him free, he still needs to get shifer. If he's declaring him hefker, according to Shmuel, he doesn't. Hefker meaning that anybody in principle could own it now. Yeah.
Free me.
No, it's not necessarily the same thing. Free means that nobody owns him. Hefker also means nobody owns him. Hefker means anybody could own him.
But Hefker means that he doesn't own himself.
Nobody could own him, so it's not Hefker.
If nobody could own him, then he's a better Hefker.
He's free.
Then he's free, yeah.
No, he says if it's free, Hefker, it's free.
But so Hefker, that's the thing. Shmuel is saying that a master abdi yafal chayus. But there's a difference between...
Hefka
means that somebody else could reclaim him, yeah.
He can, because he's free already.
According to Shmuel, yes, but according to Rav, no. Okay, another case. Am seder of Abba bar Zutra Ishtaboy, a Shifra Knanis belonging to Rav Abba bar Zutra was captured. Paukahu Talmudah l'shum Itza. A certain person from Talmud, a guy from the city of Talmud, bought her intending to marry her. Shochu Levidi Day. So the local Jews, the local based in of Talmud, sent a message to Rav Abba. E Yos Abdus, if you want to do the right thing, shadol agit to dechirusa. What you should do is send her a get shikur, so that she'll become a Jewish woman.
Yosh.
Well, he hadn't had Yos. No, Yos means the correct thing, the right thing to do. So we have to ask, hey, Chidomi, what was the situation that they're telling him to send her a get shikur? Idimatu parkila, if it's a situation where you're able to redeem her, the guy is willing to sell her back, or is willing to sell her back for money, why give her a get shikur? Keep her as a shikha. Idimatu parkila, and if the guy is not going to sell her for anything, he doctor wants to marry her, he shabla get to the chirus in my hobby. So what does it help if he send a get shikur? She's under the control of this guy. Now what's going to happen? She's going to be a Jewish woman, still under the control of this guy. How is that going to help? The answer is la'olam demotzu parkila. Okay, we are talking about a case where it would have been possible to redeem her. But what happens is, chivin demeshadu l'gitte decherusa, once Reb Abba will send a get shichur and make her a full-fledged Jew, chaburi mechabri adodi, then the local Jews will get together and raise money, opautila, and they will redeem her. Because they're going to hold, like what we said at the beginning of the Sovia, not like the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but rather like the Chachamim, according to Abaye's understanding of the Chachamim, that there's no particular mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim for avodim. So as long as she's a shivcha, they're going to say, why should we bother? Once she becomes a bas chorin, then they'll have an incentive, now we have a mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim, and we'll go raise the money. So that's the good of it. The Ibari Sema, or another way of looking at it, La'olam d'loy matzu parkila, we could be talking about, on the contrary, it was a case where it's impossible to redeem her, the goy is not going to let her go no matter what. But the kibin, the mashadu, the gitzah, the chirusa, once you send her, get shikr, and she becomes a free Jewish woman, mitzvah ba'ape, then she becomes degraded in his eyes, because then that, it tells everybody publicly that she was previously a shikr of a Jew. And then he'll be willing to let her go. Then he'll be willing to let her go for a reasonable price.
Because she's a
Well, Rashi says, "Vipneishin yigalo lakol shishiv chatisrael." So that it lets everybody know that she was previously shivcha.
Otherwise, how would they know?
I'm going to
be captured, or
obviously. Exactly. No, they don't know. They don't know if she was a regular Jewish woman or a shivcha or what.
When they find out.
When they find out, how are they going to find out? Because a get shivcha is going to be sent. The very fact that a get shivcha is going to be sent is going to make her unattractive to him, and therefore he'll be more willing to let her go.
Had he not said get shivcha, what would happen? He would just marry the girl because she's a
shivcha. But the problem with that is, again, a shivcha is chayiv in some mitzvahs. This goy is not going to allow her to keep those mitzvahs. The better, at least, we should get for the lesser of two evils. Therefore, let's make her a giyoris, and then he'll be willing to let her go. Question is, the Gemara says, how so? Well, Amamar, we learn, the Gemara talks about in Avodah Zarah. There's a mission over there and a whole sugya about in the Gemara about the concept that you're not allowed to, a yid is not allowed to allow his animals to be in the care of a goy, because a goy may commit bestiality with them. And the expression the Gemara says there is Chaviva lahen behemten shayisrael yosim in sheisein. Certain goyim, at least, would rather they would prefer a Jew's behemoth to their own wives. How much more than they prefer a Jew's shivcha? So how is sending a get shivcha, where now it becomes publicly known that she was a shivcha, how is that going to help? The answer is hanimil b'tzina. That's in private. Where they figure nobody's going to know about it, then we say they'd rather the behemoth and show Yisrael. But it should be in public, zilabuhumil, so they consider it beneath their dignity that I should be married to a former shivcha of Yisrael, nothing doing, and therefore I'll be willing to let her go. Another case, hahi amsa dehavet b'kumbadisa, there was a certain maid, there was a certain shivcha knanis in b'kumbadisa, dehavet kama abdi ba'inshi isura. People were doing isurim. People were being mizana with her. Omar Abaya, Abaya said, you love
her consent.
No, Rashi is with her consent.
So why is it called isurim?
It's still an Isra. A Yisrael, a Yid, is not allowed to have relations with her with Shifra Kranis. The only Yisrael who is an Eved Ivri. And actually, Maram Shif says, why didn't they just marry her off to an Eved Ivri? And he's a, practically speaking, this is long after the Yovel was bottled, there's no Avad Ivriim anymore. So, Amar Abaya, Ilab, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Mashachar, Abder, Rabbi Be'ezer, this is what you were talking about before, Yaakov. If it weren't for what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, that a person who frees his slave is over on an Isser Esser, if it weren't for that, Havna Kayifna Lelamara, then I would force her master, because of Lekitza Dechiros, that he should write her a get shikr and make her a full-fledged Jewish woman, and then she can marry a Yisrael, and then his nus will stop. If it were except for the fact that there's an Isser Esser involved. Ravina Amar, on the other hand, Ravina says, Ki ha moizir of Yehuda. I mean, in this case, actually, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're allowed to. Mishum milsa di isura, because after all, there's an isur going on over here. To save people from an isur, you're allowed to. Question is, Abaya mishum isura loy. Why would Abaya hold that if it's a matter of preventing isurim from happening, you're not allowed to free a slave for that reason? Ha amar of chanina bar of tina, amar of yitzok, maisi bi isha achas shechet yeshivcha b'chetzi b'chari. It happened with a certain woman who was half free and half slave. This is, we'll talk about this case in a few days. We'll have a Mishnah and a Gemara about it. One situation is that she was owned by two people and one of them freed her. We'll talk about it over there. There's going to be a machloitis of Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether a person is able to free half of his slave. Anyway, so she's half free, half slave. She can't marry an Eved. She can't marry a Ben Choren. She's in limbo. And therefore, again, people were, So they forced her master to make her free. And it wasn't just a matter of period of Arabia, because women aren't chayiv in period of Arabia. So the fact that she wasn't able to get married to a Ben Choren or an Eved is neither here nor there. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says the reason why they did it is because people were treating her casually. People were being mizana with her. So you see that in a case of znus, you do force the master to redeem her. So why is Abaya saying that there's a problem, that because of that we can't force the master to do it? Once she's a Bas Yisrael, she's able to marry a Yisrael, then there's no more incentive for her to be mizana. Like this, where she's in limbo, she's neither an Eved nor a Shivcha, then
it forces her in a way too.
Not really forces her, but at least, you know, it makes her available, basically. Yeah. Whereas once she's a Bachurin, okay, so in the previous case where she's a full-fledged, okay, so one second, actually. The answer is, the Gemara says, Hochi Ashta, how could you think to compare them? Hosav loyla eved chazi v'loyla ben chorin chazi. In that case, where she was half free, half slave, she's neither able to marry a ben chorin nor an eved. In this case, Rabbaya would say, you don't have to go to that extreme of freeing her. Just marry her off to an Eved. She's a full-fledged Shifcha. She's allowed to marry an Eved. Let her marry an Eved, and he'll look after her and make sure that people don't try to take advantage of her. But not necessarily in that case. So it's true, where there's a situation of Avera, then you can free her. But Rabbaya felt, in this case, there's an alternative.
And you don't free her when there's an alternative.
Gufas, and now getting back to that, Omer Yehuda Avashmol, Kol Mashachar Abda Over Be'eset, if somebody frees his slave, he's over on a mitzvah seset, and Emel Olam Behem Tavodu, because the Pasuk says, you should forever have them work, you should forever work, have them work for you. Meisah, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Meisah, but Rabbi Eliezer, Shenichas, the Be'eset Knesset, it happened once that Rabbi Eliezer came to Shul, V'loi Matzah Asara, he could not find 10 people there at Shul for a minion. The Shikhar Abdav Ishlam al Asara. So he freed his slave right there on the spot and included him in the minion.
And
Evan Knani, of course. And Evan Ivri is a full fledged Jew, yeah. Then there's mitzvah shiny. It's different where there's a mitzvah involved. Now, what kind of mitzvah are we talking about? There's a good deal of discussion. If we're saying that it's a mitzvah's essay to not free them, then what kind of mitzvah are we talking about? Especially if we're talking about Tfilah B'Tzibur, is only a mitzvah de Rabbanan. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Midaraisa, there's no such thing as that you have to daven in a minion. So for anybody. The whole concept of the midaraisa, all it is you have to daven at some point during the day. You have to speak to the Eibishter and praise him and ask for your needs. The whole concept of three tefillos a day and tefillah b'tzibur and so forth is midrabbanan.
Minion for something else. But what's the right term?
No, Shenichnas Bevesa Knesset. Okay, so there are Meforshim actually who say that the situation was this was on Shabbos Parshas Zohar. And according to many opinions, as we know, every year, Parshas Zohar is Daraisa. So that's one answer. This may have been an Esa Daraisa of viewing Parshas Zohar. There's various other answers, including that when we say it's an Isser Esa, we don't mean it's an actual Esa Minatoda. We may mean it's only Drabbanan and it's the Pasuk Loilim Behem Tavodah is an Asmachta. So therefore one Drabbanan can cancel another one. There's another answer that they give, which is Tfilah B'Tzibur, even though it's true, it's only Drabbanan, it's a very strong Drabbanan. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, for example, that when Eibishter comes to Shul at the time of davening and there isn't a minion there, he gets angry. So therefore, that's a major thing. So therefore, yes, we can override the Esa of L'Olam Behem Tavodu for that purpose. And then there are other, then there's a lot of discussion that when we say we have mitzvah shiny, actually the Gemara in Brachas, when it talks about the says, not just any mitzvah, it's mitzvah d'rabim. It's a mitzvah that's needed for the purpose of the rabim. In this case, the whole rest of the people in the Shul. Or other circumstances like that. Not just for one individual person.
Standing in minion.
Then some bakrin writing them, right? Let's talk a little more about that pasuk. La'olam behem tavodu rishus, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that this pasuk is actually, it's not saying a mitzvah you have to keep them as slaves forever. It's optional. Unlike an eved divrei, who has to go free at the end of 6 years, or yovel if he gets his ear pierced, and Eved Knani, you're allowed to keep them working for you forever. Give it Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Eved Chayva. No, but in context of the pasuk over there is it's saying that an Eved Ivri has to be let go after 6 years or after Yovel. So then Rashi says you're going to ask, where am I going to get a blood and pursue me? The answer is we're going to shove him. You'll have them work for you. And loyal behem tavodu. So it doesn't have to be a mitzvah. It could be a statement. If you want to have them work for you forever, you can. If you want to free them, you also can. Rabbi Kiva says it means it's an obligation. You have to keep them as slaves. You're not allowed to free them, except, as we said before, a case of a mitzvah. So the question is, so why did we have to answer in the previous piece that the reason why Rabbi Eliezer freed a slave is only because of a mitzvah? Why can't we say simply that he holds like Rabbi Shmuel? And then there's no problem. The answer is lo tzafadaita. If you can't think that way, the tanya behedia, because we have an explicit braisa. Rabbi Eliezer oim a chayva. Rabbi Eliezer says the same thing as Rabbi Akiva, that it's a chayva. So he holds that it's a chayva. Obviously, therefore, it must be that there's an exception where mitzvah shiny. For everybody, everybody would agree with that. Yeah. Omer Rabba, further on this connection about freeing slaves. There's three things for which balabatim end up losing their wealth. Number one, the Mapti Abdayu L'chiru. So number one, because they're Meshachru, their slaves, so they're over on this Mitzvah's asset that we just said, Lord, we have to have Avodu. Number two, who decided Nechsayu B'Shabbosa. Number two is they look over their real estate, their fields or whatever on Shabbos. They don't do Malacha, of course, but they walk around the field on Shabbos, thinking what needs to be fixed, what needs to be improved, etc., which technically is allowed, Dibur also Hiru Mutter, but it's not the right thing to do.
Talking about it is also,
a Dabur Dabur. But the Gemara explains in Shabbos, Dibur also Hiru Mutter, you're allowed to think of these kinds of things, but still, it's a design of Shabbos to even think about it.
What does it include to talk about this?
It includes, for example, that to talk about...
Deal or
no, not even a deal. In this case, for example, talking about, let's say, you know, there's, you know, this coming week I need to call up the contractor and have him fix this fence, and I have to, I have to make such and such an arrangement with my artist and whatever.
Specific. Yeah. That
has to be very specific. Not very specific. No, I mean, the Gemara explains in Shabbos you're allowed to do cheshbonos shel malach. You're allowed to do like calculations that are meaningless. Like you're allowed to calculate, for example, I don't know how much did so and so spend for his wedding. Let's say where it's just it's in the past. It's not something that's negated to you. Let's say, but so that's number two. And number three, or the kavi suda sudasai b'shabbos be'idin be'medrusha. Number three, that they arrange a suda of Shabbos. At the time of the Beis Medrash, there's a certain time on Shabbos when the Chacham, when the local Rav is darshaning in shul, usually on topics of halacha, and it's important that people should attend. And instead, these people are sitting and having their suda at that time. They should do it either earlier or later, so it doesn't interfere with that. So those are the three things. Why dafka those three things? Mefoshim talk about a variety of things. Marsha talks about Marsha.
Yeah, by the way, you see that on Shabbos, some people, when there's Vartara in one end of the shul, other people are eating at the other.
Fine, but the Vartaras we have nowadays are not necessarily things. We're talking about they would darshan on practical halacha. Practical day-to-day halacha that you need to know. That's what we're talking about. But we're not talking about here where they're bringing and they're telling a nice story that happened with some chassid 75 years ago. You know.
They didn't have a
shulchan aruch,
so they needed the rabbi.
They needed, exactly, yeah. Okay, so why?
But even if we had a shulchan aruch, it's
still forbidden.
Yeah. It doesn't apply.
Indeed. Also, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So why doctor these three things? Of course, we talk about a few different possibilities. Why these three things? Marsha and Maral talk about an idea that each of these things is meant to be a source of bracha, and you're sort of undoing it. The Eibishter gave you wealth, including Avodim. What are you voluntarily giving them away? The Eibishter gave you Shabbos. What are you voluntarily thinking about your business affairs on it? And the Eibishter gave you Torah, same idea. There's different other things that Mefarshim talk about. It shows that you're too involved with your business. Or one of the Mefarshim says actually the other way around. It shows that you're too cheap. Why are you freeing your avodim? Because you don't want to have the expense of feeding them. Why are you thinking about your business affairs on Shabbos? Because you're thinking this is like wasted time. It's downtime from work. I better put it to good use. There were two families in Yerushalayim. One of them made their regular meal on Shabbos at the time of the drasha that we said. The achas kavas sudas of erev Shabbos. The other one set up a meal on erev Shabbos. Ushtei and Nekru, and both of them ended up being uprooted. Now, what do we mean on erev Shabbos? So Rashi says two possibilities. Number one, it means that they made their main Shabbos sudah on Friday night. Really, the halacha is kvod yom is more important than kvod laila. If you have a choice, when to serve the better food, you're really supposed to do it Shabbos by day rather than by night. This is why we have cholent Shabbos day. Is one of the reasons. So then they did the better food on Friday night. So that's one explanation, Rashi says. And the other explanation is that...
So what's the Bittul Beis Medrash is because they
had Beis Medrash Friday night as well. There's a famous story involving Rav Meir where this lady stayed late at his drasha Friday night, and then she came home and her husband is upset at her and then told her you got to go spit in Rav Meir's eye. That whole story, yeah. Some mashes they had Beis Medrash Friday night as well. So that's one. Number two, Rashi says the other possibility is it means literally on Erev Shabbos. So you're not allowed to. You have to have an appetite when it comes Friday night for the Shabbos meal. Like this, they would have a big suda on Friday, and that was wrong. So in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about the details. Is it talking about, for example, you have a bris, or you have some other kind of simcha on Friday.
You still have to restrict it.
So there's a couple of different things. There's primarily, so some of the posts can say, say we're talking about making it a regular thing week after week. Others of them talk about that even if you're making it on Friday. No, here it's an ongoing thing. Or the Kabi, so the Sayyid Rishab, they made a regular Suda. So some of the Farshim said regular is like every week they were doing it. Others say it means even if it's a one-time thing, it shouldn't be a full Kriya Suda. Make it a smaller scale thing, or make it in the morning, make it earlier in the day, going back to Avodim, Amar Rabba, if somebody declares his Eved Hektish, then he goes free. My time, why is that? Gufei Lekadish, his body is not able to become Kaddish. There's two kinds of Kaddishim, we've learned many times. There's Kaddishim is Be'ach, things that are brought us themselves as Korbanos. There's Kaddishim Bedek Abayis, things where the value of them goes to the treasury of the Beis Hamikdash. The body of the Eved is not able to become Kaddish, it's not suitable as a Korban, and it's not suitable for Bedek Abayis. Bedek Abayis can't do anything with him. Ledomi Leka Omar, he didn't say anything about that the money of this person should be hektish, which in that case, then the value of this eved on the slave market would become hektish. Necessarily, what he must have meant, the lehavei am kodesh kama. He must have meant that I want him to be hektish in the sense I want him to be part of the holy nation, the Jewish people. So by saying that, he's saying that he wants him to be a Yisrael. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos has a bit of discussion about that, and they end up saying that it's not a matter of what we figure what the master might have meant. It's just as a practical matter, declaring the Eved Hektish Rashi is saying it's a practical matter because there's no other kind of Hektish that can apply to an Eved, therefore by default it must mean that he's making him a Yisrael. Tosfos says we're talking about actually that what it is we're assuming that this is what he meant. Not by default this is what's left. By saying that he's Hektish, you understand it to mean that he means that he should become a Yisrael and therefore they should go free. Rav Yosef Amar Rav, Rav Yosef, on the other hand, says in the name of Rav that if somebody declares his Eved Hefker, then he goes free. So Mando Amar Machdish, so Rabba, who mentioned the idea of declaring him Hefkish, would say Kol Shekin Machdish. He would say how much more so if you declare him Hefker, like we said on Amar Aleph, that we would say that he goes free. Mando Amar Machdish, whereas Rav Yosef, who mentioned Machdish, he would say Amar Machdish Loi, but if he declares him Hefkish, that's not a reason enough to say that he goes free. Because Dilma, the Domikom, the fact is, maybe he does mean that the value of him goes to Hektish, not that he himself becomes Hektish. Even though that, right. So now, Ibarilu Hu Tzarech Get Shichur Oilai Tzarech. So now comes the question, if you makdish him, does he need a Get Shichur? So Makdish, we talked about on Amar Aleph. Now we're going to talk about it again. Toshma, the Amar of Chiba of an Amar Rav, Echad Zeh Yotzel Acheres Vetzarech Get Shichur. Rav Chiya Ba'alvin tells us in the name of Rav that in both cases, Machdish or Machdir, he does go free, but he does need to get Shifr in order to be officially, in order to be Nijur, free and be able to marry a Bat Yisrael. Omer Rav, Omer Tzvin and Ashmaitin. On the other hand, though, we have a contradiction on this statement that Rav himself just said, HaMachdish Avdi Yotzel Acheres. Rav says, I know I said that in the name of Rav, but I myself can bring a contradiction against that. A Braita says, Hamakdish and Chosav Vahoya Ben Avadim, if somebody is Makdish his possessions, and among his possessions there are Avadim, Ein HaGizborim Nashoyin Loitziyam Lecheirus, then the Gizborim are not allowed to declare those slaves free, because Rashi says the Gizborim, the treasurers of the Beis Hamikdash, have not acquired the guf of the Aved, they've only acquired his domim, his value, and therefore they don't have the ability to make him free. They can sell him to other people, and the money will go to Hektish. That's the right they have over it. Aval Merchon Oysam Acherim, they can sell the Eved to somebody else. Ba'acherim Motzin Oysam Acherim, and then those other people can free them if they want to. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe says, Omer Ani, I say, Afu Noisin Demei Atzma V'Yotze. No, actually, the slave himself, if he can find somebody who will give him money on condition that his master doesn't own it, then he's able to take that money and he's able to pay for himself the yotze, and then he can go and then he can go free because then that's the equivalent of the gizmo selling the eved to himself.
He'll have to pay back that money.
No, he'll have to pay back that person later on. But we're not getting into that. The point is, the same way Rebbe is saying, the same way as the gizmo has the ability to sell the eved to somebody else, the same way he has the ability to sell the eved to himself and make him a ben chorin. So you see from that then that he was makdish the eved, and we do say that he's kaddish l'domov, that the money of him becomes hekdish, not that he goes free. The answer is masnitzin karamas aleder Rav. What are you trying to bring a contradiction from a braisa against Rav? Rav Tana hu polig. Rav is a Tana. He was sort of the transitional generation between the Tanoim and the Amoraim. He is to a certain extent a Tana, and he's able to argue against the braisa. He's not mentioned in Mishnayos, but he's mentioned in a couple of Braises as Reb Abba. There's three or four Braises in Shas where he's quoted as Reb Abba, because that was his real name. His real name was Abba. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The pasuk says, "Ach kol cherem v'goyim," that if a person declares any of his possession cherem, that he declares it hekdesh, and the pasuk says, "Me odom uvehema," so me odom elu avodah v'shachayt v'knanim. The word me odom includes an eved or a shivcha. So you see, if he declares them hektish, they become hektish. Not that they become free. And here you can't say Rav Tanahu Poli, because we're learning from a pasuk. The answer is Hachab Ma'askin and Domel Adomi. Fine, you know what we're talking about over here. It's a pasuk at the end of Parashas Bukhokhoyzei. So Hachab Ma'askin and Domel Adomi. Yes, you know what we're talking about over here, actually, where he explicitly said that the evidence value is going to become hektish. Rav was talking about where he just said Hamakdish Avdeh without specifying, but if he specifically said Domel. So the question is, well, that's what we're assuming. It's fine. We can use that to say that it's not a contradiction to Rav. So then, so why do we need in the previous braisa, why do we need to say that Rav is arguing with the previous braisa? Why don't we just say that the previous case also about the Gizborim not being able to free him, or Mishnah actually, why don't we say that that's also talking about where he said that there's Eved Domim? The answer is ihochi ena gizborim rashoin letzir mecheros. Because if that's the case, what do you mean when we say that the gizborim are not allowed to free him? Gizborim, my avidisaya. What kind of rishus would they have them? Would they have on the eved in the first place? If you were only makdish the slave zomim, the gizborim have no rights over the eved in the first place. Why would we even think they could free him? Obviously, it must be talking about where you were makdish the eved himself, and therefore we have to say that Rav disagrees with that. Yeah. The two, and not only that, when the Mishnah continues, you're saying that the gizbo can sell the eved to somebody else, and the somebody else can free him. Acherim, I have decided. What would that, again, the acherim wouldn't own the eved if he was a chiller, if the owner was only makdish the value of him. The slave still belongs to the original master. It's just a domim of him go to hektish. The two, and then also Rebbe Omer Aniach who knows in the Me'atim of Yotzim Peshul Kamocha, like that Rebbe says that the slave can pay himself off and get himself free. The Ila Domi, my Peshul Kamocha, like if it's a matter of that the master was only makdish the value of him, then what's Peshul Kamocha, like the only his value is hektish. He himself is still an eved to his original master. So what kind of he has the ability to buy himself away from the gizmo? So for all those reasons, we must say that the original Mishnah that we quoted must be talking about whether he was makdish the actual Eved himself. And then we would have to say Rav disagrees with that. The second braisa, that about Akko Kerem, fine, that one is talking about Ladomi. And then therefore doesn't contradict Rav. And we'll continue, the Gemara will continue the discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.